He was asleep at that moment in time. He was working hard. I appreciate it, because if you didn't do it, then Brother Randy'd have to do something else. You notice I didn't say I was going to, right? My music days is just about over. I've been trying to get rid of them for years now, and I'm finally getting so close I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But nobody sings specials around here. Uh-oh. That's where I come in. When I come back, I'm going to sing a special, but here's what needs to happen, all right? You listen. Everybody's listening to me, right? Sing a special if you've got one you want to sing, all right? If you'll just come talk to me, we'll make it happen, I promise. We can get you the tracks, we can get you the piano player, we can do whatever we need to do if somebody wants to sing a special. I think it'd be good to do that. I know you got one, don't you, bro? Brother Dylan looked like he had one all over his face. Like he might have. I thought he was going to come up here and do it now. No, I did want to say something about this morning. I forgot about it during Sunday school. But if you do have a special, and young, old, don't make any difference. If you have a special, it'd be good to hear it. I like to hear singing. Even bad singing sometimes is good. So don't worry about that. I can't sing all the specials. I'm running out of songs on my phone and my iPads to be able to keep up with everything. My sister won't let me bring the iPad anymore. I don't know what's up with that. I think she got upset when I took the pastorate here. It does do that. Oh, I'm going to go home after that note right there. Oh, thinking about singing, man. We used to sing this song when I was with Gold City. It's one of my favorite songs. It's probably one of my favorite songs, if not my favorite song. No, sir. It's called "It's Still the Cross." And, man, I love that song. I love being able to get up because I didn't have to sing that one. You know, you sing a 13-song set. That's usually what we did, 13 to 14-song set was how our programs kind of worked. And out of the 13 to 14 songs said, I would sing at least 9 of them. Yes, 9 of them. That's a bunch of leads right there, buddy. I mean, that's a bunch of words to remember. But there was one, and it's called "Still the Cross," that Danny sang. Danny's my favorite singer, and I'm not trying to boast anybody. He ain't going to listen to this, so you ain't got to worry about that part. I'm not trying to boast somebody up, but he's probably one of the most underrated singers in Southern gospel music. He's fantastic. He was also my boss. He's a great guy. But to hear him and be able to stand back and just listen to him sing "It's Still the Cross," man, just give you chill bumps. And it wasn't just because he was a good singer. It was because of the message in the song. It's still the cross. It's all about the cross. It's always been about the cross. It always will be about the cross. When he shed his blood on that cross for you, that ought to excite you just a little bit. It's got everything to do with what I'm preaching this morning, so it was good y'all brought up singing, I guess. Why don't you take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Now, I know it's not Easter, but you can still preach it even if it ain't Easter. Those of you know your Bible a little bit know that Luke 23 is a very common scripture used for Easter time. But I like preaching on the cross when it ain't Easter. I like preaching on it during the summer, during the winter, the fall. Don't make any difference to me. I just preach it anytime. It's the message that never gets old. It is timeless. Luke chapter 23, we're going to start reading to verse 33, and we're going to read a good amount of scripture here, and then we're going to kind of just backtrack and tiptoe through it a little bit, if that'll be all right this morning. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, the Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, I'm going to stop right there because that right there is worth an amen. When he's dying on the cross for your sins, when he took the sins of the world upon himself, and he's going through all the agony and pain, every bit of it, every bit of the pain that he's gone through at this point in time, and yet he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He cared that much for me. He said, hey, God, they don't understand. They just don't understand what they're doing. I know who I am, but they don't understand it yet. We know that he goes on and he asks him to let this cup pass from him. And God said no. God turned his back on his own son. He took the sins of the world upon his back. And he died on that cross for you. Because he cared for you. He said, forgive them. Let's move on. 35. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we did indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Let's open the Lord a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you so much for allowing me to be able to preach again, Lord. Thank you so much for this book, Lord, the book that I can believe in, Lord, the book that I can put my faith and trust in, Lord. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, Lord. I believed it as a 9-year-old boy, Lord, and I believe it now. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for us, Lord. I pray that you just help us to be able to get something out of the Word of God, Lord. I pray that somebody would be able to just hear the words of the Lord. I pray if somebody's not saved, Lord, they'd get saved before it's eternally too late, Lord. That'd be the most important thing that happened here this morning. Somebody give their life to you, Lord. And we give you all the honor and praise for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, these are some scriptures that we've read here, familiar scriptures. You've read them all your life. You've heard them. You heard them time in and time out. And there's been a lot of preaching on these few scriptures. And I know that you hear a lot of preaching on that middle cross right there, don't you? That's a good cross. You can say amen there. That's a good cross. Because it's a story that never gets old. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross shouldn't stop. It should be an ongoing thing. That's the reason why we can preach it on other days other than just Resurrection Sunday. We can preach on the cross whenever we want to, and we should. Why? Because that's somebody's hope. That's how you're going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, is telling them what he did on that cross for them. How he shed his blood for them. And I love that middle cross because, you see, that's where I got in. That's where I got in. When I didn't deserve it, he died for me anyways. You know my favorite verse right here, right? But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us anyway. He shed his blood for us anyway. He gave us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He loved us that much. He shed his blood for us. But that middle cross is the cross of redemption. And you have the other cross. Now, I've looked in the Bible. I've done some study on this. Because I've always heard, you know, you have the thief on the right and you have the thief on the left. Well, I ain't found it yet, so if you find it, would you please let me know, okay? But it don't specify which one was on which side. Now, we like to think he's on the right because, you know, the right is bright. You know, the left is weird. Throw that out there. Take that for whatever you want to right there. And that's how you do it. Well, it doesn't specify what side they were on. And honestly, it doesn't matter, does it? Left or right, doesn't make any difference what side they were on. Just know that there's two thieves. So you have the cross of redemption, which is the middle cross. The cross on one side is the cross of reception. Now, we preach a lot on that cross too, don't we? Because most of us have been there at some point in time. Now, if you've been to church most of your life, some of you, or most of you here this morning, have probably accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've been right there. Where you're in need of a Savior, and you know that you're in need of a Savior, and you come down to this old altar right here, and you kneel down, and somebody took the Word of God and said, hey, this is how you can know that you know that you're saved. You have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've been in that place before. So you hear a lot of preaching on that cross. A lot of preaching on that cross. But the cross that you don't hear a whole lot of preaching on, to be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody preach on it, to be completely honest with you, maybe one or two different people, is the cross of rejection. That's the other cross. It had two thieves. I heard it said like this one time, one man has sin in him, and on him. One has sin in him, but not on him. And Jesus has no sin in him, but all our sins are on him. And that's so true. That is so true. The middle cross always makes the difference. We like the one cross because we realized that we needed a Savior at some point in time in our life. That's why we focus on that one. But this third cross is the one that I want to kind of focus on today and just give you a little different perspective on it, just a little bit of what God kind of laid on my heart. When you get down into Luke 23 and verse 39, the Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. So we know that we have two thieves, and one of them is railing on God. One is railing on Jesus Christ. He's making fun of him. He's mocking him. He's blaspheming God. He's sitting there saying, hey, if you're so much God, how about you save yourself? And then he taunts him a little bit and says, hey, and us too, while you're at it. While you're at it, if you can really do it, God, then show yourself a little bit and just pull us off of it too. Mocking him. Just trying to push the button. Just trying to stir something up, right? And he sits there and he says, if thou be Christ. That's one way to word it, ain't it? And I believe every word of God is pure. Every single word. If thou be Christ. That would indicate that he didn't really think that he was. That would indicate that he maybe thought he's just like us. He's no different. And you sit there and say, well, I'm not that way. Were you at some point in time in your life? You were without hope at some point in time. You sit there and say, well, I've always believed in God. No. No, you didn't. Because if you believed in him, then you were saved, right? There's a difference. You may have had a head knowledge and thought there was a God, but you didn't believe that he was God at some point in time in your life. You have to accept him to believe him. You have to know who he is. But he's questioning God. He's questioning who he is. He's questioning whether or not he's really God or not. We get on to Luke 23 and verse 40. And then you got the other thief, and he starts to starts to kind of rebuke him a little bit. It says, But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God?" You know, I hear this a lot, that, you know, you're not supposed to fear things. God's not giving you this spirit of fear. Yeah, I'm not supposed to fear man. I don't fear man. But I fear God. I fear God. You sit there and say, "Well, I don't know about that." Well, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. The Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Fear the one who can destroy it all. That'd be God, wouldn't it? Soul and body. Man can't destroy the body. Can they hurt you? Yeah. Can they upset you? Most definitely. Will they let you down? Probably. But can they destroy your soul? No. You see, God holds that. God's got that part. But you have to fear the one who can destroy both body and soul. So to sit here and say, "Dost thou not fear God?" I would seem to think that maybe he didn't fear God very much. That he didn't fear him at all. That's a really bad place to be in, folks. I know some people that I've met over the years that through work and things like that, that they don't have a fear for God because they don't believe he exists. There's some hard people to talk to. There's some hard people to win. There's some hard people to try to get to go to church, and they're hard to get to think about the things of God. Why? Because they don't fear him at all. They don't fear what Jesus Christ can do. Why? Because they don't think he exists. The day they step into eternity, though, that's going to change. The day that they step into eternity, they're going to stand before an almighty God. And that day, they'll know he's real. To those people that don't believe in God, that don't have a fear for God, I just keep telling them anyway. I just keep giving it to them anyway. You say, "Well, that's a little pushy." This day and age, you better start getting pushy. Man up. You better start getting pushy. Why? We ain't got a whole lot longer left. We looked at that timeline. I'm here to tell you right now, if you put a little man on it, he's right there beside that second coming. I meant the first coming, the rapture. He's right there beside it. This time is dwindling down. You better start getting pushy with people. You better start saying, "Hey, you know that he died on the cross for your sins. You may not fear him now, but you're going to fear him one day." He put this whole world together, and he died for you. He loved you that much. But we know this man doesn't have any fear for God. And I've heard this one before a lot. If you can get a man to his breaking point, I think my wife told me this morning, is if he hits rock bottom. She's laughing at me because I made a wrestling reference to that. If you hit rock bottom, the very bottom, that's when somebody will sit there and go, "Man, God's real." If you could just get them to the lowest point in their life, then they'll look at God. Wouldn't you say this man's probably at his lowest point? Come on now. He's on a cross, folks. I don't know if you know that or not. Let's put this in perspective, okay? He's hanging when he's talking to him, okay? He said to get yourself down and get us too if you're at it, if you can. He's already on the cross. He is in the process of dying. He's at the bottom. And he's still denying God. He's still denying God. He still says he's not real. Why? How could somebody do that? Because he's hardened. He's got a hardened heart. Ephesians 4:19. The Bible says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He's given a past, they're going to this point of past feeling. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I have, okay? I've been to the point in my life, and as a saved person, I've been to the point where God didn't deal with me the same way as he does now. Okay? God deals with you a certain way depending on how receptive you are to Jesus Christ. Okay? I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior as a 9-year-old boy, but there was a point in time where I got away from God. Okay? I did the wrong things. You know, I did things I wasn't supposed to. I acted the ways I wasn't supposed to. I wasn't worried about reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. And there was a point in time in my life when I realized, hey, I am past feeling God here. Like, it's gone. It ain't got the same touch on it anymore. The difference is I was saved. So God kept coming. And he kept convicting. And he kept getting on me, saying, hey, you need to get your life right. Hey, you need to fix this. Hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to get back in the Word of God. Hey, you need to keep studying. He stayed on me. He stayed on me. But if you're not saved, you can get to that point where God just says, you know what? Turn you to a reprobate mind. If you rejected me this many times, and you do it on your own. And I'm going to tell you this, and we're fixing to wrap this thing up. I hated working at the hospital, but I loved it all at the same time. The things I learned at that place were amazing. What I learned was people are so different. People are just completely different. Sometimes you walk into a room and somebody's got some faith and they're trying to push through in the worst circumstances, and others, they'd just soon cuss you than to talk to you about anything spiritual. And I remember walking into a room. This man was sitting there on the side of the bed. Obviously, he was dying. And we all knew that, and he knew that. Well, because of who I am and the kind of person I am, I really didn't care so much that they said that you weren't supposed to do a lot of things. I'd just soon get fired and do the right thing than to keep my job and not do the right thing. Amen, right there. You get enough grit in your crawl, you'll do it too. So I didn't do everything out of order, though. I mean, I did things the right way. I didn't push the button too much. But when I see somebody dying, I can obviously know through the days that, hey, this guy's not probably a Christian. And if he is, his fruit's not showing it very much. So I just point blank asked him, I said, hey, if you died tonight, where would you spend your eternity? And he called me a lot of things I hadn't been called before. I said, well, I guess I got my answer on that one. He said, you don't understand. He said, I used to go to church. He said, when I was a little boy, I went to church. My mama used to take me. My grandmother used to drag me. My dad said I had to go. He said, and I went all the way through till I got graduated. He said, and I said, I'd never step foot in one of them things again. They're all hypocrites. Guess what I said? Amen. Hallelujah. We are. That shock you, doesn't it? You're all hypocrites. That's what we are. But I'm a hypocrite still saved by grace. The one who's constant, the one who's always faithful, the one who's always there, guess what? He's the one that's not a hypocrite. We waver. We change. We hurt people, and we make people uncomfortable, but God never does. God's always faithful. God's always just. God's always right. He said, I never go back in one of the places because they're all just hypocrites. I said, I'd agree with you. We all are hypocrites. That's exactly what we are. One day we're up, one day we're down. The next day we're on fire for God, and the next week we don't care anything about reading the Word of God. You're exactly right. We're all hypocrites. I said, but you are too. I said, you are too. I said, and your heart's gotten to that point where it's just so hardened that you can't even see the things that God has done in your life. What God's already done for you. And he said, I don't care anything about God. And he died. And I'm going to tell you right now, that man's probably burning in hell right now. He was at his lowest point. He knew he was dying. He knew he didn't have a Savior. And he died anyway. Now, what about you? Like I said, most of you probably accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, okay? I get that. But I don't know everybody's heart. You could just be playing a game. You could have everybody fooled. Amen. You don't think it happens? Y'all go talk to my dad. My dad said he was a professional church player. He grew up church. He grew up playing the game. He sat behind a drum set, played drums at church. I know, yeah, we don't have a drum set and all that. It's all right. It won't hurt anybody, I promise. It's just rhythm. That's all it is. You'll listen to it on your country music station when you get in your car. Amen. There we go. I'm going to jump off of it as quick as I jumped on it, okay? He sat there playing them drums. They're playing them for Jesus. Dying and going to hell. He'd go travel and sing. He'd play the guitar, play the bass, or play the drums, or sing. Dying and going to hell, singing about God. Dying and going to hell, playing that guitar. Why? Because he knew who God was, but didn't know who he was. He went down to Victory Baptist Church. An old man by the name of John Bull Bramlett walked by and said, if you died right now, where'd you spend eternity? And walked off. My dad's always been able to give an answer back. I was a good boy. I grew up in church. But when John Bull Bramlett didn't give him the chance to give an answer, it was just him and God. And he realized at that point in time, I'd die and split hell wide open. I'd die and split hell wide open. That's where the man on that cross did. He rejected God. Can you imagine hanging beside the Savior? Hanging by the one who gave it all. And you rejected him? Guess what? If you reject him this morning, you get the same consequence. You'll have the same outcome as he did. You're not any different just because you're not hanging there beside him. You'll have the same outcome. Now we know the other man. I kind of like his story too. And we can relate with that. Why? Because he said, hey, God, just remember me. I like how he said that because he didn't say, God, take all my problems away and fix this situation and take me off this cross and help me and save my soul. He just said, remember me. Just remember me. I deserved hell. You see, I think he got it better than most did. He got the fact that he deserved something, and he was willing to take it. But what did God do? He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. What does God do? God always gives you more than you deserve, right? He's better than you deserve. So he said, you know what? I know that you hadn't kept the law, and I know that you hadn't done all these things right, and I know that you're not probably the greatest person, and I understand you probably didn't even care who I was before you got to this point, but right now, all that matters is you want me to remember you. So guess what? This day you'll be with me in paradise. I thought this was cool too, because we talked a little bit about paradise last week in Sunday school class. He might have been the last one to go to paradise. Pretty cool, ain't it? He possibly, I'm not saying that, I ain't got Bible for it, okay? It's an opinion. You can preach opinions as long as you specify it's an opinion, okay? In my opinion, he technically could have been the last one to go to paradise. What's cool is he was going right into that grace thing. You know, Jesus Christ, he let captivity captive. I'd like to think he was on the front line. He's like, man, this is good. I got to paradise, and now I'm ready to go again. Paradise is done away with. I get to go to heaven. I think he was sitting on go. If you don't know what I'm talking about, study the Word of God. It will help you. So this morning, my question is, where are you at? Is your heart hardened against the things of God? You troubled? Never accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? I would beg you to come down to this altar and get it settled this morning. It'd be the best thing that you could ever do in your life. You say, well, everybody look at me weird. Don't worry about that part. I will give you some good advice right here. If you will get up and walk out, God will just kind of push you to the front. And if anybody says anything to you, I'll handle that. I'll be mean pastor that day, okay? Because that's the most important thing you'll ever do. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Doesn't matter to me. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, get that settled today. If your heart's hardened, and you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you ought to come do business with God. Maybe you ought to sort some things out with him. You can be there. I've been there. And the things of God weren't as important as they used to be. Come down to the altar and talk to God. You ain't got to do it here. You can do it at home. You can do it sitting right there. You can do it in a car. You can do it at a restaurant. It don't matter where you do it, but this is a good spot to do it. We've gotten away from this a lot. There ain't nobody just flooding to the altar anymore. Used to, they flooded the altar. Guess what? They don't do that anymore. I watched the Arise Youth Conference. C.T. Townsend was preaching at Arise Youth Conference, and they had over 1,600 teenagers got saved this past week. They had all these rededications to the Lord. They had people that got called to preach, had people called to be missionaries, and they are literally flooding the altar. Why? Because they just want God to change their lives a little bit. You say, well, I don't know if that's all. Well, it may not all be right, but I'm here to tell you right now, some of it is. Maybe you ought to quit judging some things that you ought not be judging. Judge the things you should, don't judge things you shouldn't. Let God be God. Maybe you're so hard-hearted right now because you don't come down to the altar that when everybody else comes down to the altar, you just don't think, ah, maybe that's not real. Ain't your decision to make that. Ain't your call. Let God be God. He's dealing with somebody's heart. Let them come down here and talk to God about it. Get back to where you feel comfortable here. Because I don't want you to have a hard heart. I want you to know what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And that he loves you. And that you can tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. This morning as Barb comes to play, stand to your feet, you bow your head, close your eyes. If anybody needs to do business with God, now would be a great time to do it.